All right, welcome everybody to the NFL recap show. Today is a special crossover episode. I got with me the two DFS kings of the group, Keith Fleming and Joe Matz. When Keith isn't doing DFS, he's actually the host of the Backdoor Cover, so he's double timing today. He's got me and Joe here. So Keith, since you're here, who you like best? Don't lie.
Well, you're more entertaining. Let's put it that way.
I'll kick your ass off this show. This is technically my show, so you better answer right. All right, so Joe's on the time crunch. We're not going to say why, but he's on the time crunch, so let's get into it. Week four started with the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville had not won a game. They came into Cincinnati, and they lost again. Joe, what do you think?
I actually didn't see any of this game live because I was working, but I'm not too surprised that this is the first time the Jags offense looked vaguely professional against the Cincinnati Bengals. But I do think I've been a big Joe Burrow fan ever since he's been in the league. I'm a believer, and I think he showed why this week. I mean, he made CJ Uzoma look like a top tight end the way they were playing this week. So props to the Bengals for avoiding a kind of a classic Bengals loss.
Yeah, that's all I could think at halftime was, man, the Bengals, like just when you think this team might, you know, be turning the corner and be a contender, they're down double digits to the Jags. I know Urban Meyer was trending for not football related yeah. reasons all weekend, but he should have been trending for the terrible decision to not take the field goal, make it a 17-point game going into the half. I really think that was the game. I mean, when they didn't get that, Bengals came out, scored right off the bat in the second half. I mean, you would still been up 10 points, you take the field goal, but without it, it's a one score game. And from that point, it was pretty much all Bengals.
Yeah, this game just personified all the terrible coaching and game management we received throughout the weekend of football. One thing to note here, Joe Burrow was an absolute monster, but he was super good against the blitz. I don't have the stats in front of me. I'm just going off what I saw on TV, and he was just practically perfect against the blitz. And then another thing to note is that the Jaguars didn't seem to make any adjustments. Being up 14-0 at the half and then being outscored 24-7 in the second half, that essentially was the game. Week four for Sunday started with the Washington John Does visiting the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons were coming off a win against the New York Giants. Washington coming off a ridiculous ass-whipping to the Buffalo Bills. But the John Does pulled it off, 34-30. Once again, the Falcons blew a game at the end. Keith, you're a Falcons fan. I know you wanted to come on the show primarily to talk about this, so we'll give you the floor.
I'm just tired of losing in, you know, heartbreaking fashion. They just a tease. I told Joe last week when we beat the Giants that, you know, this was all for naught. I would have rather lost because I knew the season wasn't going anywhere. But my big problem, and I'm really asking you guys because I respect your opinions on this, I've been so disappointed with Arthur Smith so far this season. I mean, you got a 2-point lead. You get the ball. You need basically two first downs to win the game. And they run it up the gut with Mike Davis on first and second down when at that point he had 11 carries for 12 yards. And you have Cordell Patterson, who is, you know, other than Derrick Henry right now, the highest scoring back in fantasy football. Matt Ryan was really good in this game. And it just like it's the second time he's been ultra conservative in a moment. And it's not like we have a good defense. And it's not like he has Derrick Henry back there anymore. I'm really concerned. You know, there's a lot of coaches that are good coordinators, but they're not great head coaches. And I'm getting a lot of those vibes. The only other thing I do want to say real quick is that I was starting to get on the bandwagon that Matt Ryan is done, that, you know, he can't throw the ball down the field anymore. I was at that game live. He's never had a super strong arm. He still does not, but he can still make throws. They had, I think, 7 drops in this game, and he threw a couple great deep balls, and they were all dropped. So I don't think the issue is Ryan. I think the issue is the line. I think the issue is the coaching and the play calling, and the Falcons are bad again. So it's fucking Groundhog's Day.
I think the issue is the lack of talent and the fact that you had Cordell Patterson just destroy everybody's fantasy hopes this week, including mine. Joe, did you have Cordell Patterson in your lineup?
Sadly, I did not, and I even have him on one of my season-long teams. So I could have used him this week for sure.
He was a play on the podcast.
Yeah, you called it. You called it. You know your team.
I will say that the key thing here would be that Terry McLaurin, or Scary Terry, just got off 6 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Probably one of the more underrated receivers in the league at times. Absolutely. Do you think so, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you look at the quarterback play he's had throughout his career so far. Like, if you can accomplish, he's like Allen Robinson 2.0.
I think it's DeAndre Hopkins 2.0, because, you know, Hopkins was that way where he couldn't get a quarterback, and look now, you know, he's had Kyler Murray. Same deal with, you know, Scary Terry. You get him a real quarterback, dude, he could be a real problem.
Usually when I think of a guy who's, like, really talented but doesn't have a quarterback, Hopkins comes into mind. But unlike Hopkins, Scary Terry, unlike Hopkins, can actually run routes without pushing off. So we'll save that for later. A game that we don't have to spend a lot of time on. The Fighting Josh Allens destroyed the Houston Texans 40-0. I know you guys love you some Josh Allen. It was a sloppy game to start, but obviously when you score 40 points and the other team doesn't score any, it's a blowout. Because Joe Matz is the Josh Allen guru, we'll let you lead this segment. Joe, what do you think about Josh Allen once again dominating a shitty team?
I mean, this is what I expect from Josh Allen. He's always going to dominate the shitty teams.
Okay.
The question is, what'll happen against the good teams?
Who would be the good team this year in the AFC?
Well, defensively, if he lights up the Patriots, I'd be impressed.
Patriots?
I don't know that the Patriots are a good team, that they're a good defense. So if he lights them up, I'd take that.
Tua couldn't be Jameis Winston? Those Patriots?
I mean, it's Tua
because they had a good game against Tom Brady, who clearly was not in the right frame of mind. That's what we're going off of.
The Patriots have not been losing because of their defense. Let's be clear on that.
They haven't been winning because of their defense either, so.
Alright, so you want me to not give credit to Josh Allen if he lights up the Patriots? Would you prefer that?
No, because the Patriots are inferior. Let's go with somebody else.
Can we talk about the fact that, forget this game because it's a blowout. I'm shocked that the Bills are only 2.5-point dogs at Kansas City this week, because, I mean, Bill Simmons made a good point. Who do the Bills beat? I mean, I'm not knocking them, but I'm saying to go into Kansas City in a game that, I mean, it's pretty much a must-win for Kansas City. Their division is much tougher than Buffalo's. They lose this game, they have really a chance to not only, you know, get home field, but potentially not win the division. I just think it's a much more must-win game for Kansas City. I was shocked to see that line.
I mean, it's just a situational play. I mean, the Bills have beat the Dolphins with their backup quarterback, the Texans with their backup quarterback, the Skins with their backup quarterback, or John Doe, sorry. So I think it's rightful that they're 2.5 dog to Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs. Well, I mean,
Keith, you're saying, though, that you're surprised it's not a larger line, right?
Correct, yes. I figured it would be more than 3, or at least 3.
It'll probably go up, but, I mean, the Chiefs are still home. I want to say the Bills have, in the last year or so, traveled well since Josh Allen has come out and started playing well. So I would probably say that it's driven by historical data.
I'll buy the line only being 2.5 because, I mean, the Chiefs defense looks like straight trash right now.
Yeah.
And
doesn't look like it is.
Yeah. And then, Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders, I saw he said today, even when you account for opponent adjustments, the Bills had the best defensive game in DVOA history, which dates back to 1983.
Wow. They have been playing really well. Speaking of a team that, I don't even know where I was going with that, because the next game is the Lions-Bears. All right. So, Lions-Bears. Bears, Justin Fields' second debut looked a whole lot better than the first game. 24-14, Bears won. The story to me in this game was just the Lions just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, even in the first half, they had about 2 or 3 times where they were within the, like, 15 yards, and they didn't get any points.
First team in NFL history to have their first 3 drives get in the red zone, and they came away with 0 points.
Yeah,
NFL history.
Really, what their first one was, they had the first and goal from the 8, and they snap it off of Goff's shoulder, and it was caught. by the defensive tackle for the Bears. I've never seen a defensive tackle catch the snap and never hit the ground.
Yeah, absolutely wild. Shout out to Fantasy Stud, David Montgomery, and Darnell Mooney. Both just absolute monsters yesterday. If you want to help a rookie quarterback out, getting 23 carries and 106 yards and having 5 receptions for 125 yards is definitely the way to go. Justin Fields, like I said, looked really good. Didn't have any passing touchdowns, but just looked a lot more comfortable in game 2 than he did in game 1.
I mean, obviously the game script is kind of perfect for what you want to do with Justin Fields, where you could lean on the run game. You're not too worried about the Lions coming back. And then I also think Bill Lazor calling the plays is a plus. They averaged over a touchdown more per game last year when he called the plays versus Nagy. So hopefully Nagy's ego can stay out of the way and let Lazor work with Fields here.
Lazor, yes. Shout out to Lazor, who definitely backed Nagy up when he said, "We know what we're doing." When he said "we," he meant Lazor. A surprise to me, the Carolina Panthers fell to the Dallas Cowboys. Not surprised that they fell, but surprised that they didn't cover the 5. It was 36-28. Looked like it was going to be a blowout when the Cowboys scored 20 straight in the third quarter unanswered, but somehow only scored 3 in the fourth, and the Panthers scored 14. Zeke averaged 7.2 yards a carry, had 143 yards on 20 carries. Absolute monster. I'm sick of hearing about Amari Cooper and him being a top 10 receiver, but he was there. And DJ Moore on the other side had 8 receptions for 113 yards. Darnold actually looked like the Darnold that we've been accustomed to seeing.
Leads the league in rushing touchdowns. We all had that penciled in.
He had 2 interceptions, but the story of the game has to be Trayvon Diggs. My brother from Stefan's mother, that's my guy. All right. Trayvon Diggs was balling. Did you guys have any takes from that? Were you surprised by how the game went?
The Cowboys are legit. And I hate to say that. Jay Holla is, anyway, but I mean, they're scary. I mean, you look at who they faced. I mean, me and Joe were talking about this off air. They're 3-1. And I mean, they have, other than the Eagles, they've played 3 good football teams. They just look like a really explosive, fast team on both sides of the ball. Their offensive line looks to be back intact. And I mean, you just look at this game. They beat a very good defense where Dak only threw for 190 yards, but he had 4 touchdowns. I mean, CeeDee Lamb had 2 catches for 15 yards. And again, they put up 35 plus points. I mean, the Cowboys are for real. You need to remember they almost beat Tampa week 1 in Tampa in the banner raising game, which the Super Bowl champ never loses in that spot, and they almost won that game. I think the Cowboys are absolutely for real, and their division is only going to help them potentially get a 1 seed, which, you know, with the new playoff format is even bigger.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them bumped up in my fantasy or DGEN power rankings, which I'll be revealing on Wednesday night. Joe, you are the statistician. I know you got something on the Cowboys.
All right, so the one negative that I'm going to throw a little water in the Cowboys.
You always got it.
Just on their defense here, because I feel like their defense is getting a lot of love. And let me be clear, if the Chiefs had this defense, they'd be doing cartwheels, and they'd be like the clear favorite in the league. But they're a little overly dependent on turnovers. Now, they forced at least 2 in every game, super impressive. But in their 3 games where they haven't played the Eagles, they've given up 24 first downs in all 3 games. People can move the ball on this defense.
But are they scoring? That's the key. Are they getting touchdowns, or are those drives ending in field goals? Because you can.
Well, they're ending in turnovers is the problem.
You were just boosting the Patriots. That is similar to their style of play. They give up a ton of yards. They will give. They will bend, but they won't break.
Right now, and to be fair to the Cowboys, I'm just saying, like, people shouldn't lose their mind at this defense. There's going to be a game where they lose like 38-34 because the defense is.
To be fair, though, they just need a decent defense. Right. I mean, if their defense is good, they're
because
in great
the
shape.
The offensive line looks
so
like
many
it's
good offenses and
it's back
not great defenses
in
the league.
And I think one really key part to the Cowboys is just all the different ways they can kill you. Because, I mean, like you said, Keith, you know, they almost beat the Bucs week 1, and that was entirely spreading the field, throwing the ball. And then we saw yesterday, they're just pounding it, and they can't be stopped. Like, both guys, Zeke and Pollard, not even accounting for the extra 17th game, are on pace for over 1,000 yards rushing apiece right now.
Yeah, and shout out to the Cowboys as an organization. One of the things that they internally had discussed over the last couple of years is that their defense, no matter how good it was, didn't force enough turnovers.
Yeah.
And now they are actually forcing turnovers. And some of that can go, actually most of that can probably go to Dan Quinn and his defensive style.
He's a lot more creative, I feel like, with this Cowboys team than we saw with Keith's Falcons, as Keith would know.
Yeah.
And then one last thing, the Panthers granted weak schedule those first 3 weeks, but they'd only given up 135 yards on the ground in the first 3 weeks, and they gave up 245 yesterday. So
wouldn't you both say the Panthers are a legit borderline playoff team? Like I felt like I know the Cowboys controlled this game, they impressed.
First four games, you could say that.
Yeah, I thought this game was more about the Cowboys being impressive than the Panthers being disappointing.
Yep, and speaking of impressive, Carson Wentz got his first win. That's even better than Josh Allen. So to all you Carson Wentz haters, this is my show, so I'm going to hype him up. Fuck y'all. That's right. Carson Wentz got his first win of the season. The fact that he has played four games, or three and a quarter, is impressive nonetheless. But the Colts went into Miami and beat Jacoby Brissett 27-17. Great display by Jonathan Taylor, who came in nicked up. Obviously, I would like to see a little bit more from the passing offense, but the diversity was there. I mean, he's got like nine guys that he threw the ball around to. He was 24 for 32 for 228 yards. My biggest issue here is that the strength of this Dolphins team last year was the defense, and this is another game not where there. It's just not there. I don't know if maybe people have figured them out, if it's personnel just not playing up to par. But they're just not getting it done defensively, and that was a strength of this team. Are you concerned, Joe, by any of that?
Oh, yeah. I think the Dolphins suck. Like, I just think that they're bad. Like, luckily for them, they'll have two games against the Jets at some point. But, yeah, this was a game where I was all over picking the Colts this week straight up. I didn't really understand why they were underdogs because the Dolphins have shown – nothing this year. They won against the Patriots because Damian Harris fumbled in the end zone in the last 4 minutes of the game. Otherwise, this is a winless team. And great week for the Colts, who I still kind of like to win that division. I said last week they were the winless team I most believed in. And I'd say this week went about as well as possible in two different games for them.
Yeah, you stole my thunder. If I was on the Backdoor Cover podcast right now, I would have been checking out the Colts' odds to win the division. Don't get me wrong, they play the Niners and Bills, which is the other two teams in the next 6 weeks, but they also have the Jags, the Texans, the Titans. They've got some really easy games coming up, and they had a really tough first three games. I still believe in the Colts, especially with just the mess that the AFC South is in general.
Yeah, I do too, and another mess is out there in Minnesota. The Browns visited the Vikings. I'm a little pissed as a gambler because I thought the Vikings would bounce back, or not even bounce back. I thought they would continue to play well and win outright. But also in the same breath, I did pick the Browns to win the division. So they're 3-1, so they're meeting expectations, and that's good. But you want to talk about some awful, this was a defensive game. Baker threw for 155 yards on 33 attempts, and Kirk Cousins only threw for 203 yards on 38 attempts. Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison ran the ball 19 times apiece and only had 54 yards. So you can see why the Vikings only scored 7. And in the same breath, you have to give credit to this Cleveland Browns defense that once again showed that they're probably, if not the best, in the top three discussion for defenses in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned you're high on this Browns defense. I think you're right. I liked Joe Woods a lot when they hired him as a defensive coordinator away from San Francisco. This defense is clearly moving, which thankfully, because we saw what we saw Baker pre-Stefanski yesterday, where it was a lot of bailing on the pocket, rolling to his right, missing throws. I think that's the worrying thing for them, obviously, is if they're going to contend against the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens, Baker's got to be better because the rest of this team's ready to go. Like the run game we know is there. The defense looks like it's the best it's been maybe since the Browns have come back from when they became the Ravens. So if Baker can find his way, this team's right up there with anyone, but he's got to look better than he did yesterday.
They need to also, though, just really commit to what they did yesterday. Like, they need to realize that there's going to be games that they can just bully teams, and that's what they need to do. They need to just, I mean, they pounded the rock in the second half. I know you talked about how it was. I literally went through it with Joe because I think there was like 19 punts in the second half between the two teams, a lot of three and four and out. But I like when this Browns team just does that. I think the biggest issue with the Browns the last few years is when you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and they're combining for like 22 carries in games that you're either winning or in, that's bad play calling. You need to pound the rock with those guys. And you know, then Baker's going to be at his best doing play action. So big win for the Browns, and even bigger for them. The Steelers are trash. And I mean, no offense to the Bengals. I don't think they're, you know, a real competition for them yet in the division. So that means the Browns should have a good chance to wrap up this division maybe by week 13, 14.
Wait. We're forgetting about the Ravens there.
I don't think the Ravens are for real either.
Well, I said in the beginning of, in our pregame show, or preseason show, that I thought that the Browns built a team specifically to challenge the Ravens with the Ravens in mind, not the Steelers and the acquisition.
A wise choice.
The acquisition of Clowney was part of my reasoning for that. Browns, obviously, if Baker can step his game up and just not lose the game, then they've got a good chance of winning. To your point, Keith, last year they were easily the top three rushing team in the league. They definitely have that as their identity, and I don't know if the game dictates it or Coach Stefanowski wants to try to give Baker more leeway to see where he can go with them. But, you know, ultimately, the numbers have shown that when they control Baker, they control the games. Giants,
hey.
Second surprise of the week, did not see them outright winning, had them covering on the podcast, was even told by a Giant fan on the morning show. I was tripping. Just saying, they do have a good ATS record on the road. Giants went into New Orleans, spoiled the home opener for the Saints, 27-21. When you look at the Saints' stats and you look back on that game, you kind of are left wondering.
It's confusing, right?
How did they lose? Yeah, how did they lose? But Daniel Jones has been playing fairly well, and I noted that on the morning show as well with Ronnie, who's a Cowboy fan, said the same thing. Like, look, the guy ain't playing bad. But he got Galladay involved, big. He got Tony's whining ass involved. And then he had 400 something yards. And with Saquon getting,
so that's the most important thing.
Carry, yeah.
Or if it looks a little bit better.
Everything looked good that game. Do you guys, and we won't spend a lot of time on this game, but the question here is, do you guys see this as just, a blimp or is this something of like more to come? Are the Giants potentially building up to make a run?
Giants should be 3-1 right now. I mean, I think they should be about a 500 team, kind of around what me and Joe had discussed. I mean, I think that they should be a 9-8, 8-9 team in that division. They can't lose any more games like they did to the Falcons in Washington, where they really outplayed the team and then kind of lost the game late. But I mean, the Giants, especially if they can get their receivers healthy and Danny continues to play like this. Yeah, I mean, I actually like what the Giants do. They're not terrible on defense. You know, they can pressure the quarterback a little bit. And if Barkley continues to get better, which we all know with those knee surgeries, usually it takes about a year and a half to 2 years to really get back. So I expect him to continue to get better as this season goes on. But I've been really impressed with Daniel Jones, kind of like you would, you know, Josh Allen. I believe in him. I actually think he does have some talent and he is going to be a good, you know, solid NFL quarterback. And a lot of people have given up on him. Much like Josh Allen, his accuracy continues to improve. He's starting to throw the ball more and more down the field. And that has a lot to do with his offensive line. But, I think the Giants could, you know, potentially the seventh playoff seed is wide open in the NFC. There's six really good teams and then a wide open spot for that seventh seed.
I think this is a sign of things to come from the offense. As long as Jason Garrett this is like outside of a fucking sweep with Evan Ingram in the red zone. Otherwise, this was the best game he maybe has called probably at all as the Giants offensive coordinator. The Giants seem to be realizing that Daniel Jones might actually be good. And I think the rest of the world is going to be a little bit behind on that. But I think the offense it's there. I mean, Tony looks dynamic with the ball in his hands. Sterling Shepard is obviously not even playing in this game. Defensively, though, I think that's why this is a 6 or 7 win team, Giants team. Because, I mean, Jameis kind of had his way in this game. 17 of 23, 226 yards. In the third quarter, he had a fantastic touchdown pass to Callaway that was called back because of holding. Naturally, Sean Payton then decided on the next play, let's do the same thing, but with Taysom Hill throwing it, and it got picked off. So one of the reasons that they lost this game, I think, is Sean Payton can't seem to give up on Taysom Hill quarterback. He ran the ball really well. There's no reason for Taysom Hill to be throwing passes. That's just the classic mistake there. And I don't know how much of this was the Giants keying on him and how much is just Jameis doesn't check down. But Alvin Kamara didn't have a target in this game, which is...
He hasn't thrown it at running backs. He never has. It doesn't make sense. And that's a bad formula when you have somebody like Alvin Kamara who can catch passes. You look at it, he has, I mean, basically no catches compared to what he had through 4 games this time last year.
But I don't know if
you guys are familiar with Jameis Winston from the Buccaneers, but he checked down was 20 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of his DNA right now. Kamara has been running the ball well, 26 carries, 120 yards.
Yeah.
I would say color me surprised Sean Payton got in his own way. People don't never want to talk about that, but I can give you a list of examples of where Sean Payton, the genius, has pretty much out-thunk himself, if thunk is a word. Titans suck. That is all that needs to be said. Tennessee lost to the winless New York Giants. Zach Wilson was probably the worst rookie quarterback since Peyton Manning debuted, and nobody wanted to put that on him because then that would imply that he might have a ceiling of Peyton Manning. And so this game played out, and I got to say, this is where I get into my NFL is rigged segment, because the line was tanking. Like, people just knew the Titans were going to lose. And I was like, you know what? I'm not willing to bet on the Titans to cover anything over 3 points anyway right now, but I gotta see how they lose. If you told me that Derrick Henry ran the ball 33 times and had 157 yards, and that Ryan Tannehill threw for 298 yards on 30 for 49 and they still lost, how? This is more confusing than the Giants game.
Right. They played for a tie, too. real quickly, I want to give this stat because, I mean, this Titans secondary might be all-time bad. Through 4 games, they've allowed 12 different receivers to have a reception over 20 yards and have given up passing plays of 53, 54, 29, 36, 51, 29, 36, and 38 in 4 games. I mean, if you are doing fantasy, especially daily fantasy, you should have a receiver every week against the Titans secondary and probably look at playing the quarterback as well, because it's unbelievable the amount of big plays that you can get against them right now.
Yeah, yeah, the Jets had scored 20 points in the first 3 games. They scored 27 yesterday. So that's tells you a lot right there. Yeah, and one more thing I want to add, Alan, because you mentioned, if you look at everything, time of possession, yardage, turnover battle, the Titans won all of those. One of the reasons that they lost, they took 5 sacks on third downs. They had as many sacks on third downs as converted third downs.
That's your boy Tannehill, probably. He's got a little Matt Ryan in him when it comes to taking unnecessary sacks. I'm sorry.
Unnecessary shot.
Hey, look, Chiefs went to Philly. They won. It wasn't as impressive as a lot of people would have liked, but they covered the number and they won by 12. That defense has still got, I mean, Jalen Hurts throwing for 387 yards on you, I would be concerned. Like,
he didn't even do that to the Falcons.
Yeah, he didn't do that to anybody. A lot of concern.
We might not see it the rest of the season.
Yeah, shout out to Devontae Smith, 7 catches, 122 yards, rookie receiver. Tyreek Hill, I still don't understand how he gets off. If there's anybody I would cover is him, but it seems like every 5 games, he has a game like this where he's got 11 catches, 188 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And you're left wondering, like, did anybody scout this team? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is I think this is his second game over 100 yards, or just having an impact.
Back to back.
Really be helping this offense. And obviously Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns yesterday, 1 interception, but still 5 touchdowns. I'll take that ratio any day.
Yeah, I think you look at that game, and like you said, the defense is the scary part. And then the good part, though, is like you said, Hilaire ran for 102 yards on 14 carries. He didn't have a run longer than 17 yards. He was consistently churning out positive runs. They ran for 200 yards on the day against an Eagles defense whose strength is their defensive line.
Yeah.
So offensively, I don't think you can have any complaints about the Chiefs right now. And defensively, I don't know if there's anything good you can say about them right now. Which a lot of overs, not surprising.
They remind me of the Warriors about the second or third year. I guess it was Durant's second year where, you know, we've been there, done that. And it almost looks like they're sleepwalking at time. And it's already caught them up in 2 games this year. And again, whether they want to admit it or not, that's a big game against Buffalo. Because if you're 2-3 through 5 weeks with potentially 2 teams in your division with, you know, 3 or 4 wins, you know, you got to be careful.
Yeah, they definitely do, especially with how good the Chargers are looking. And then the head-to-head loss to the Chargers definitely doesn't help them. Speaking of looking good, I'm working on my diss track, Fuck Kyler Murray. And Ronnie definitely put me on blast, which is funny because this jerk has some bad calls himself, but I was hoping to get on You Got a Minute, Fam, to really get at him. But, you know, I went on this arrogant tangent about the stats with the Rams and how Sean McVay was 8-0 against them. Yeah, I know. Well, it burned me. And it's good that Kyler Murray is coming to San Francisco. He got his game out the way, his good game. Hopefully he has another egg that he drops when he plays San Francisco this week. But the it was just a bad game by the Rams. I mean, just overall bad game. They were not helped defensively by their offense, which went a lot of 3-and-outs, a lot of quick 3-and-outs.
Doesn't surprise you, though, does it, Alan? I mean, that was like a Super Bowl-type win for the regular season in your stadium to beat down the Bucks like that. It really did not surprise me for them to have a letdown. It's hard to back up, you know, after that kind of performance. And we'll know more this week against Seattle.
Well, like I told you in the preseason show, in the NFC West, this is how it goes. Rock beats paper.
Right.
Scissors beats paper or rock, paper beats rock. You know, I messed that up again.
The will goes
on.
Yeah, like, we got it.
There's no real rhyme or reason to our division. This is how it goes. The Cardinals are going to beat the Rams. The Rams are going to go to Seattle and probably beat the Seahawks. And then we're going to somehow beat the Cardinals. And we're all left wondering, how the hell is this happening? And really, you make your living in this division by what you do outside of the division, because inside the division is chaos. It's always competitive. No matter how bad teams are. I mean, we had a shitty, 4-5 win team last year, I think, and we still beat the Rams.
Yeah.
You know, like we beat the Rams with Nick Mullins. You know, like it's just one of those things. Debo Samuels went off that game. It's just how our division works. And it doesn't matter who the Seahawks put out. As long as Russell Wilson is in a warm body, he's going to win. He beats us every time. It just doesn't matter every goddamn time. Seahawks 28, Niners 21. We just can't get out of our own way in San Francisco. Jimmy G got hurt. Trent Williams got hurt. Trey Lance came in, was 9 for 18, 157 yards, 1 broken play. I think it was like a 79-yard touchdown, Debo Samuels, or 76. But, you know, it's just one of those things that we just can't get out of our way. A funny thing, but not so funny, we were in a position to at least get a couple field goals in the first half, and our kicker, Gold, got hurt during warm-ups.
Your kicker got hurt, too?
Yeah. During the warm-ups. So we didn't have a kicker the entire game. He would have had at least 2 field goals that I know of and an extra point that he would have made. 2 field goals and the extra point would have given us 7 points, and that's the difference in at least tying the game in regulation.
I mean, like you said, it's just getting out of your own way. You outgained them by 223 yards and lost the game. And, like, sure, you lost the turnover battle, but – it was by 1. Or no, I guess it was, there's a fumble too. So you look at that, it's the turnovers, it's the injuries. But yeah, I don't think anyone should be like, oh, this Niners team is screwed. This is still a good team. They're going to win games, even in this NFC
West.
They
lost by a touchdown with their starting quarterback out, their, you know, two starting running backs out, you know, Mitchell and Moser. And I mean, you know, the receiving core, Debo has been so impressive that if they can get Ayuk going like he was last year and then get, hell, give me Mostert or Mitchell back. I think this offense is going to be dangerous by the end of the year. Selfishly, I kind of do want to see Trey Lance play a game or two just to see what he can do, because, I mean, he's electric. Like, I now see why they traded up and why they were so enamored with the talent.
Do we think that we see Jimmy Garoppolo again? Because I think he's almost definitely out this week and potentially 2 weeks.
Excuse me. We fucking told Tom Brady, no, we better see Jimmy Garoppolo again. Like, we dissed Tom Brady for Jimmy Garoppolo. I better see Jimmy again.
I don't know that we will.
If you bench Jimmy for Trey Lance, I'm going to personally fly to San Francisco and choke Kyle Shanahan, because we could have had fucking Tom Brady. Tom Brady chose the Niners. So you pick this guy over Tom Brady, but you would bench him for Trey fucking Lance? Get out of here, man.
I don't know.
That would be the most arrogant fuck. Oh, man. I don't know. Trying to make it a family show.
Sorry, I didn't bring that up.
Moving on. Baltimore Ravens, semi-impressive win. They did knock out my boy Teddy Covers, which is unfortunate. The streak. Yeah. I don't even want to say the streak ended because he didn't finish the damn game. But either way, Ravens 23. Broncos 7, the real storyline here is what happened at the end with the Ravens going for the record, to tie the record of 100 straight yards rushing, in a game. Vic Fangio with a nice little, press release, basically telling the Ravens to go fuck themselves.
Good for him.
John Harbaugh replying in the most ridiculous way ever, saying, well, I don't know if there's a 16-point play and they were throwing the ball at the end of the game. Well, no shit, dude. Like, if you're losing, you still play the game. But if you're winning, you typically take a fucking knee, man. Like, and he did admit that he had made up in his mind that he was going to go for the record regardless if they got a chance. So, I mean, it is what it is. But Fangio has a Harbaugh connection. He coached under Jim. He coached under John. Is really telling to me that he would take such a personal stance and basically saying, like, that's how they are over there. They do player safety secondary. And I felt like that wasn't a swipe at the Ravens as much as it was a swipe at the Harbaughs, because Jim's tenure in San Francisco was marred with a lot of, like, questionable issues and guys retiring early from concussions.
I mean, this is also what the Ravens team that what's the number now? Like, 16 straight preseason wins, something crazy like that. Like,
ask Zynga, he knows.
Like, they clearly, now you can argue, maybe it's the argument for it is it's a culture thing. We want to win all the time, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We want to get records. But it's also, on some level, it is caring about stuff that doesn't actually matter. Like, this 100-yard thing doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Winning preseason games.
It doesn't matter. Really, you have matter. To put really, Joe, it doesn't matter.
So, like, obviously, like, I think Harbaugh would, like, he said, like, oh, it's a fun thing. I wanted it for the team. But at the same time, what if Lamar Jackson gets hurt on that play? Then the person who's angry isn't Vic Fangio. It's every Ravens fan, player, and coach.
Yeah. And I've already gotten texts from people saying that, like, other sports fans when Facebook was down, texting me saying, like, look, man, the Ravens gonna fuck around and somebody's gonna hurt Lamar. And I was like,
that's exactly what I was gonna say.
Because Lamar is really a nice guy. I like him. Hollywood Brown is the asshole. Hit him. Don't hit Lamar. You know, that's where we are. Speaking of assholes, Ben Roethlisberger took another L, to Aaron Rodgers. That's two assholes right there. 27-17 Packers over the Steelers. Steelers are 1-3. It ain't getting much better for Pittsburgh, man. Thank God it was just Facebook and Instagram. If TikTok had went down, I think Juju might have been on notice. a good win for the Packers. They seem to have found their stride after that disappointing first loss. Keith, I'll ask you this question. Do you believe me now when I said what I said about the Steelers in the beginning of the preseason?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No,
a little skeptical at first. But now you see what I was talking about.
Well, it was Tomlin. It was Tomlin that I was believing in, honestly. Sure. It was just like this week was a prime example of that, with them being a touchdown underdog. I fully expected them to cover. I wasn't saying they were going to win, but just come out, and they're just not good. And it's to the point now where I know Big Ben's done a ton for this franchise, but, I mean, they're not going to win maybe any more games. With him at quarterback, they've got to figure something else out. They're going to get Najee Harris, who I think is a very talented back, hurt. because it's a lot of, you know, passes behind the line of scrimmage, and he's getting hit by three people, you know, 4 or 5 yards past the line of scrimmage. It's been a great career by Ben. I hope he retires. I saw somebody saying, you know, what's the spread on Urban Meyer fired, or, you know, Ben Roethlisberger no longer the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's pretty much where we are there.
Yeah, Roethlisberger, I mean, he just straight up, he sucks now. Only Davis Mills has a lower PFF grade so far among QBs, and if you go with ESPN's QBR, you can add three more rookies that are worse than Roethlisberger, but again, it's only rookies are playing worse than him. His yards per attempt is below 6 in 3 of the games this year, even though he's completing 64% of the passes. Wow. So there's not much downfield. He can't do it anymore. It's over. And then for the Packers, solid win, but I think the big thing for them is how serious Jaire Alexander's shoulder injury is. Because if he misses significant time, I mean, that's huge. He and Jalen Ramsey, I think, are the clear 1-2 corners, however you order them in the league. So losing him is a major problem for them if it's an extended amount of time.
Yeah, and thankfully they're not in a division where you have to fear passers.
Yep.
Other than Kirk Cousins and Jefferson and Thielen, but they can still outduel them too. Buccaneers and Patriots, this will wrap up the show. Chargers are up 14-0, by the way. We usually give live updates. As you notice, I've been very focused. I have not been watching the game. Buccaneers went to New England. It was Tom's homecoming. Everybody was like, yay, Tom's back. Boston, and then dumb Sam Adams commercial. Buccaneers got by the hair of their chinny chin chin 1917. I would say I'm surprised by the end result. Also surprised that the Buccaneers couldn't take advantage of what I thought were some pretty crucial, like, mishaps by the Patriots, the young Patriots team. But Mac Jones played well overall, other than the one interception that wasn't even his fault. I think that got off of somebody's fingers. 31 for 40, 275 yards. You could argue that he outplayed Tom Brady. Tom Brady was 22 for 43 for 269 yards. Actually had a running game this time, 20 carries by Leonard Fournette, 91 yards.
He's big game Lenny now, man. It's only when games are big.
The leading rusher for the New England Patriots was Nelson Aguilar with 4 yards.
Yeah. They only ran it 8 times.
Yeah, they're
because you can't run against Vita Vey and the Dominic Sioux. You just can't. Yeah.
The Patriots,
tell you what, you can throw on the Tampa defense. Lord.
To the credit of McDaniels for realizing that, the Pats only had 6 runs by their running backs for -4 yards. They had 0 runs for their running backs where they made it past the line of scrimmage before getting hit. Wow. It was impossible. I think the most impressive thing for Mac Jones is, A, he didn't have a running game, and B, Todd Bowles was dialing up those blitzes. 15 of 19, 146 yards, a touchdown, and that pick you mentioned, which wasn't totally his fault. That's how he performed against the blitz. That's fantastic. The worrying thing for the Bucs is, I think they have 1 starting DB. One of their safeties is still healthy because Winfield got hurt at the end. They're down their top 3 corners. And Richard Sherman in this game, granted, just basically coming off the street here. 9 targets, 9 receptions, 100 yards, and a defensive pass interference in this game. Like,
Jacoby Myers had a 116 QBR rating this game. Yeah. Okay. He was 2 of 2 for 49 yards. I mean, right now anybody can throw on Tampa, and it's across the board with a lot of these good teams, particularly the top ones with great offenses and then a severe weakness on defense. To, you know, your point earlier, it does bring up for teams like Buffalo, Cleveland, teams that actually have a legit defense and then also have Buffalo, obviously, a really good offense. Cleveland could have a really good offense. I think that, they could actually win it all this year because, I mean, these are real weaknesses for teams like Tampa Bay, Kansas City, et cetera.
And I will say, a lot of times with these weak defenses like the Chiefs and the Bucks, with them having the postseason experience that they've had over the last couple years or the last year, those types of teams usually get stronger as the season goes on, especially in the postseason. Like, they kind of flip a switch.
And the Bucs last year.
Yeah, and the game slows down a lot in the postseason. And you got a whole year of film on people. So there's other nuances in there. But, as it stands in week 4 going into week 5, a legitimate concern on that side of the ball for the Tampa Bay Bucks. Before we end, I just want to say shout out to the magnificent Alden Smith, Justin Smith stunt that the Bucks ran. If you get a chance to find it, go back. There was a play where Vita Vey basically cleared out the guard and the tackle. The Niners used to do this all the time. Justin Smith would clear out the guard and the tackle. And then the outside linebacker looped around on the inside stunt and just absolutely obliterated Mac Jones because there was nobody there to block him. And the Niners, it's kind of cheating. And I'm not going to lie, we low-key stole it from Reggie White. But it's just like one of those historical things that you have. Like if you watch a lot of film or if you are into those types of players, you notice those things. I'm big on trench work. It's an awesome play, and I would say it's probably going to go into their main repertoire. So you got to pick your poison. You want to get hit by Vita, you want to get hit by a free linebacker. I'm going to choose the free linebacker.
That's fair. And before we go, I feel like I need to hate on one coaching decision at least every week.
All right, go ahead.
Bill Belichick, what are you doing? A 56-yard field goal in the rain when your kicker's plant leg has been bothering him? That was insane.
And Jones, hit, 20 straight completions, I think, in the second half or something at one point?
And his justification was, we were 2 of 9 on third downs. They were 2 of 3 on fourth or third and short. It's 4th and 3. And even if you make the field goal to go up 2, Tom Brady's going to have a minute left and 2 timeouts. We already saw that play out against Dallas week 1. There's just no reason to be kicking that field goal there. I don't understand that decision at all by Bill.
I think he wanted to hoped he would make it and then they could stop Brady and he could have that over Brady.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We stopped him from making. I'm serious. Like I could see it with Belichick.
He's cocky enough to do that. All right. So Monday night game right now as it stands is 21-0 Chargers with 29 seconds left. I should have made it my best bet. I didn't, but I did stamp it early last week and said that the Chargers were definitely going to cover this and win outright.
You think the Raiders are good overall, Alan, or is it just
fuck the Raiders? No.
Seriously. I'm being serious.
I'm being serious too. I think they're very, very, very overrated.
Okay.
I'm baffled by the fact that nobody has figured out how to just key on Waller and stop Derek Carr's, entire existence. Derek Carr, when he gets remotely frazzled, still has a tendency to hold on to the ball too long, and that's what's getting his ass knocked around today, is that the Chargers are covering, which they've got the secondary to do it, but they're literally manning up and getting physical with these guys and able to run different looks. They're not only just playing man, but they're able to drop 7 or 8 in a coverage and get pressure with Bosa and those guys, and it's really throwing them off. So I feel like people are getting
21-0. They just scored again.
Yeah, they're getting around the
field right now.
But they're a good team. They're a good team. So I'm not going to hate too much. Thanks for coming in, Keith. This is an awesome crossover show. I will not be joining you guys to DFS because I was 17 out of 18 last week. But
yeah, I know you want to be contrarian, but maybe you should listen to a few of our plays. Yeah.
Look, I'm on my Ric Flair. I will figure it out. I didn't lose. You guys just won because I wasn't trying. Okay.
Shout out to Peyton Harvey. Scored 215. That would have finished 7th in the millionaire bracket. Fantastic.
He tripled Allen's score. That's how good it was.
Well, he whooped everybody's ass. He won by over 60 points. Like, for real. Kudos to him. That's an unbelievable lineup.
All right, Joe. I'm going to edit that out. Y'all have a good night.